First, you really need to sit down and really figure out what it is you want. Once you do that, then it's about reverse engineering how you're going to get to those goals. So you really want to clearly define what you want to achieve financially in the long term.
If you have over $200,000 sitting stagnant in your bank, retirement account, or home equity, then you're literally losing money. On this show, you learn how to get that money working for you consistently and conservatively. Learn to grow your nest egg with your host, Sean Winslow. Let's dive in.
Welcome back to another Finance Friday episode. I'm your host, Sean Winslow, and this is the Multifamily Money Podcast. What's going on, everybody? You know the drill. And for those that are new, every Friday, we're coming at you all things personal finance. So we share tips, tricks, and strategies to get your money right, working hard and smart for you, because we know it's not what you make, what you keep. So a lot of these shows are solo episodes where I'm sharing my experience from the finance world, both experience and just me doing research on topics that interest me that I feel are important to achieve our financial goals. And today, the topic I'm going to talk about is one that I've been asked a few times about it, and also one that I see where people are making mistakes. So I just wanted to share. But before I get into that, I want to update on the market as a whole, because that's obviously important aspect to achieving financial goals is the market itself. Obviously, it's not the end all be all. You know, discipline is probably the most important thing when it comes to reaching any goal, along with having a roadmap that can get you to where you want to go. But outside of that, it is important to know what's going on in the financial markets as well. Today, there's a few things I wanted to talk about. One is GDP growth was just announced, and adjusted for inflation, it was 2.9% for Q4 of 2022, which is solid growth, higher than expected, below what happened in Q3. And it has a lot of people saying that, well, by a lot of people on a certain side, let's say, of a quote unquote aisle, right, are saying, oh, this is great news. We're not going into recession. Economy is strong, blah, blah, blah. And yes, positive GDP growth is better than negative GDP growth, but that's not the whole story, obviously. And a lot of that has to do, in my opinion, because consumer growth was large driving force of this solid GDP growth, is because that's the holiday season. People are buying things. And what we have to look at with that is, where is credit? Like, where is the debt growth of from consumer credit? Because sure, consumer spending might have been up, but how are they paying for that? Were they able to afford it? Was that paid with cash? Was it paid with the credit card and then paid off? Or was it just paid with the credit card and then it's just going to be kicked down the road, compounding interest and growing even more and more debt? So that's what you have to look at. And when you do look at that, credit debt, so personal consumer debt via credit card continues to grow. Jamie Dimon just recently spoke on this. He's the CEO of one of the largest banks, JP Morgan Chase, and they have a huge credit card exposure, right? I mean, a presence, I should say, right? I have a Chase credit card, and he said that it's still growing. It is a problem. So we have to look at all of these different factors. And one thing I think we really need to look at, and that is the yield on treasury bonds. We want to treasury bills and treasury bonds. I've talked about this before, yield curve inversion. That's when something of a lesser maturity, so like a 1 month T-bill, has a higher yield than something with a longer maturity, like a 10-year treasury. And generally, the thing with the shorter duration or the shorter maturity has a lesser yield because there's less what we call duration risk over time, because there's not as much time. And why you look at that is because those issuing the bonds, as the underlying market yield grows, it's risk for them, because say the rates are going up, but they're locked into whatever rate is on that bond when they issued it. So let's say it's 1%. We'll say now the market is, you're able to get 4% for that. Well, if there's a long maturity on that, there's more risk for them because they're not able to capitalize in that spread, right? But if it's a shorter duration, less maturity risk for them, because, or duration risk, because it's going to turn over faster and then they can go and charge that higher yield. Amongst other things, right? There's a lot of stuff that can happen over a longer period of time, which then creates risk for the issuer, thereby providing higher yield. And it's also a lot more risk for the holder as well, right? Because a lot of stuff can happen over time. So they want to be paid more adequately for that risk, right? Well, we have seen one of the highest, or the highest spread between, let me pull it up here. So 1 month treasury bill yield of 4.67% is now 1.05% higher than the 30-year treasury bond yield, which is 3.62%. That's the widest spread on record. Oh, we've got to note the 1 month issuance started in 2001. And so, like you say, why is this issue? Well, if that say the 1 month T-bill is higher the yield than the 10 year, in this case, the 30 year, it could be an indication of an inverted yield, or it is an indication of an inverted yield curve. And with an inverted yield curve occurs when short-term interest rates are higher than long-term interest rates, which I've talked about before. And this is considered to be an unusual situation, and it may imply that the market is experiencing or is expecting the future economic conditions to be worse than they are in the present. And this inverted yield curve has been a reliable recession indicator in the past, so it's something that economists and others pay attention to. And so it's important to look at everything. This is my point, not just the GDP growth, not just yield curve, but all of it together, you know, not just consumer debt, all of it together will tell a story, right? And to me, I think it's going to get a little harder, right? There's more, obviously, that needs to come out. And if we look at the rate curve and kind of forward projections, this is how the Fed funds rate is looking based how the market is pricing in. So Feb 1, predicting a 25 basis point hike. So that's to 4.5% to 4.75%. On March 22nd, it's projecting another 25 basis point hike to 4.75% to 5%. And then it's projecting a pause in hikes. And then it's projecting rate cuts to start in November of 23. So later this year, continue throughout 2024 with Fed funds rate moving back to below 3%. And below 3% is hitting around like beginning of 2025. Anything can change, right? I mean, this all can change, right? So this is not set in stone. This is just how the current market is projecting it. This is not the main topic I want to talk about today. I think I just wanted to let everyone know where the market's at, because with anything you do, rates affect you, right? Especially in the real estate market, that when you're buying with debt, 100% though. So I just want to give an update on that. But today I want to talk about, I kind of alluded to it earlier, is that it's great to have financial goals. It's actually very important. It's quite imperative to have them. If you don't have financial goals, you should, because if you don't have goals, you don't have that compass or that roadmap to get you to a solid place, especially goals outside of finance. Come on, pause, guys. Pause. Because goals outside of finance, so say it's travel or giving back, they generally all require finances to do, right? So it's important to have financial goals to then be able to achieve other goals outside of personal finance. And the point of this is if you don't have a roadmap, there's no map or compass directing you in the way to go. And if you don't have a plan, then how do you know you're actually going to get there? So I just kind of want to talk about 7 steps you should be doing to kind of plan and roadmap your long-term financial goals. The first is obviously identify your goals. So is it to be able to travel maybe 5 times a year and be able to afford that? Is it maybe to get a second home? Is it to get your first home maybe? Is it to, you want to save money so you can start a family, buy a house, give back to your community, give back to some nonprofits, be able to make enough money from maybe a passive income so then you can have some free time to maybe visit with family, maybe volunteer, whatever it is. First, you really need to sit down and really figure out what it is you want. Once you do that, then it's about reverse engineering how you're going to get to those goals, right? So you really want to clearly define what you want to achieve financially in the long term. And obviously, like I said, this can include things like buying a house, saving for retirement, or paying for your children's education. So it's important to define those goals first. And obviously, this can change over time. And you could achieve things. One, you could achieve things faster than you expected. Or two, there could be other goals that come into your life. Because as we know, things change and wants and needs change along with them. Two, assess your current financial situation. This is important too, because sometimes our goals, as they may be big, and I think they should be big, but sometimes maybe necessarily understand what it's going to take to get there. One, and two, how our current situation can really affect how we're going to get there. So you really want to make sure, take stock of your current income, expenses, savings, and investments, if you have them, and really get a sense of your starting point, because that's important, because you need to know where you're starting so you can know how you can get to the next step, and so on. And three, from that step, it's going to help you establish a budget, because this is number three, establish a budget, create a budget that helps you live within your means while also saving, investing for your long-term goals. And I know everyone hates the word budget. It seems so boring, but it's important, because as I always say, what is not tracked is not managed, right? What is not measured is not managed. And then what is not managed, it's not managed, it's all up in the air, right? Like, if you're not managing something, how do you expect yourself to get there? And so to me, this is important. Establish a budget. And I spoke on this in one of the previous episodes. Great way to track anything. Obviously, you have your budget you're going to track, but then you got to track your habit of actually, one, creating the budget, two, updating and maintaining the budget, and three, just tweaking and checking in on your budget. So a great way to do that is to track your habits, right? So I had an episode where I talked about my habit tracker. So if you want to go back and look at that, it's episode 145. And I have a link in there where you can download the tracker. So yeah, check it out. That can really help you establish that budget, know what you need to put away, obviously know what you need to save, what you need to put away, what you need to invest to achieve those goals. And four, develop a savings plan. Obviously, you've heard me say this, cash can be trash. It also can help you be a king when the time is right, if you have the dry powder to attack. First, I think you should have a minimum of 6 months emergency fund. So that's 6 months of monthly expenses. So if you don't have that, I think that's important to plan that out and have that, as well as developing a savings plan that you can then go and invest into your future. And I've also talked about this on our previous episode too, is a great way to, for that money that's in the savings plan currently, is to put into a 1 month T-bill, which I just said is yielding over 4%. So if you're just going to put it into a savings account, why not put it into a 1 month T-bill that's averaging over 4% annually? Then you can just keep flipping it over, right? You can even put it in a 3 month if you don't want to be as active as having to reinvest every month. So that's a great way to do it. And I talk about that on a previous episode as well. And I'm sure they'll link that in the show notes for you. All right. Number five, create an investment plan. This is probably one of the most important ones, because we all know compounded interest is the eighth wonder of the world. So it's important to invest early and invest often. So you got to consider the long-term horizon of your goals, invest in assets that align with your risk tolerance, return expectations. And so obviously we all want outsized returns. Why wouldn't you? But generally outsized returns come with heightened risk. And not everyone has the appetite for risk. Not everyone is comfortable with taking on those levels of risk. So you really need to be honest with yourself and not just be like, I'll deal with it. I just want those outsized returns. Because generally with outsized returns, returns come volatility, stress comes from that. So you need to be comfortable with that throughout the process. And if you're not, then be honest with yourself. Maybe you need to invest in something that has maybe not as high of expected returns, but it has less risk. So be honest with yourself and make sure it aligns with your goals. For instance, if you're trying to invest for your child's education to pay for it, and maybe that's in 10 years, you don't want to be invested in something that has a maturity longer than that, right? That has an investment horizon that's longer than that. That just doesn't make sense, right? So make sure your investment strategy aligns with your goals. And then six, review and adjust your plan. You know, as I say, you got to measure everything, right? Because what's not measured is not managed, and what's not managed will not get you to your end goal. It just won't. So regularly review your progress and make adjustments as needed. I say you should be doing this monthly. Some people probably do it even more often than that, but at least monthly, you need to be looking at this, especially early on, just to make sure you're headed in the right direction and to get kind of comfortable, especially if you're going to use others to invest, whether it be a financial advisor, an operator of real estate that you're going to invest with, whatever it may be. You want to be checking in on them, I think, monthly before you really develop that rapport and kind of get comfortable with them. Obviously, you should be doing your due diligence ahead of time before you partner with someone like that. But obviously, you don't really know everything, right, until you go through it with them. But then seven, this is just seek professional advice. If you feel it's needed, which I feel for most people, it probably is best to seek out that professional advice. That comes from a multitude of things. Obviously, doing your own personal research and then vetting the individual. And it comes from talking to friends, colleagues, and family and getting their advice on professionals that they maybe have used in the past. Hopefully should be an advice on only ones they've used in the past, or ask them for referrals from someone else they know. And so again, quick seven, identify your goals, assess your current financial situation, establish a budget, develop a savings plan, create an investment plan, review and adjust, and seek professional advice. Obviously, I am not a financial planner, so I want to let you know that. But in my personal opinion, this is a great start. This is what I've done in the past. It's helped me. I was in finance in the past, and I feel this is a great strategy to take to help you plan for those long-term financial goals. All right, everybody. I hope you enjoyed this one and got value. As always, if you did, please share it with someone who you also think could get value. And again, if you haven't left a rating or review on either Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please do so. That helps us as well. And if you're watching on YouTube, smash that like button and hit subscribe. All right, everybody. As you know, easy doesn't pay well, and instant gratification is self-destructive. So not only get out there and work hard for your money, but have your money work hard for you so you can create the life of your dreams, and we can all make this world a better place. All right, everybody. Catch you on the next one.
Hey, this is Sean Winslow. After being in the financial service industry for years and having candid conversations with good people just like you, I realized that so many of us are wanting an investment strategy that provides solid returns and consistent income without the bumps in the road. There's little known secret that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. There is investment out there that is less volatile and the returns are stronger. Get more details by going to greenbriercg.com and clicking on the free e-report. And by the way, if this show has provided you any value, then feel free to leave an honest written review and, of course, share it with a friend who needs it. See you next week for another great show.